This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Wednesday, March 14th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's studio@sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. We're going to start with the NCAA doubleheader playing game. We'll really focus on Iona BYU because the other game, which was an exciting, strange game, is frankly for the chance to get buried by Kentucky this weekend. But yesterday, Iona against BYU, the second game of the doubleheader, a tale of two halves for both teams. Iona just jumped out and ran all over BYU in the first half. They were up 25 in the first half, up 55-40 at the break. Scott Machado, who leads the country in assists, had 9 in the first half, and it looked like all Iona. Iona leading the nation in scoring this year at 83 points per game. But BYU stayed the course. They did switch to his own defense to take Iona out of their game in the second half. BYU did have Brandon Davies, who you may recall on the one hand was much maligned. He was eliminated from the tournament last year when BYU had Jimmer Fredette because he had had apparently premarital sex, admitted to it. That was a breach of the BYU honor code, so he was banned from the team last year, but he did come back this year, and he was a beast yesterday with 18 points and 15 rebounds, along with Hartsock, their sharpshooter, who had 23 points on 10 of 14 from the field and 5 rebounds. Brigham Young mounts a tremendous comeback in the second half. They go on a 17-0 run. They actually took the lead after being down 25 in the first half, 15 at the break, and even 18 in the second half. They actually took the lead with about 3 minutes to go and won the game. Brigham Young, 78. Iona 72. Machado, who had a great first half and a not-so-great second half, only 1 assist, wound up with 15 points, 10 assists, so he was their leading scorer. Jenkins off the bench, a pretty good shooter, had 13 for Iona, but it certainly wasn't enough. And I think you saw yesterday, again, I'm sure you heard all the debates, that Iona didn't deserve to be in the tournament. They actually had blown 2 18-point leads during the season. So, again, if you followed Iona, and I did a little because Iona is actually 10 minutes from where I live, and certainly Tim Klus has done a very good job as their coach. But you saw why a lot of people thought Iona shouldn't be in the tournament and why a lot of people thought Iona should be in the tournament. If you watched the first half, you were like, oh my goodness, who are these guys? They're unbelievable. And then if you watched the second half when they couldn't throw the ball in the ocean, they were outscored after being up 15 at the half with 55 points scored. They were beaten 38-17 in the second half. So obviously a tale of two halves. BYU comes out on top, and give them credit. They did stay the course. They did make some adjustments at halftime. They were able to shut down Iona offensively in the second half. And as Tim Klus, the Iona coach, said after the game, we're obviously not the same team when we don't make shots. And they certainly did not make shots in the second half. I would point out, and again, this is more a sign of the times, BYU 11 for 20 from the foul line. Iona 4 for 8 from the foul line. Just terrible what's happened to foul shooting. It is the one constant you could look at over the last 30, 40, 50, 60 years. And on the one hand, yes, all these athletes, bigger, faster, stronger, teams are deeper, blah, blah, blah. But the fundamentals, the basics, foul shooting, much weaker than it once was. So I think a lot of these kids get pushed in. They start as freshmen. They want to get to the NBA when they're 20 if they're really of a high caliber now, one and done. But what you're losing is the ability to really learn how to play basketball. And the basics, such as something as simple as foul shooting, which is probably the one constant stat you could look at over the last 60 years because nothing's changed. You stand 15 feet from the basket, you have no but he guarding you, and you just shoot the ball. So yesterday, a combined slightly over 50%, and I mean slightly over 50%, 15 for 28 from the free throw line in an NCAA game. Brigham Young moves on. Iona goes home. In the other game, again, I didn't watch this game. 16 seeds going at it. Mississippi Valley State actually up by 16 with about 5 minutes to go. Somehow managed to lose that lead. Western Kentucky went on a 15-0 run. Western Kentucky 15-18 coming into the tournament, the only team with a losing record, but they did get on a run and won their conference, winning four games in 4 days. They take over the lead late, and again, this was a very poorly played game. They had Western Kentucky, the winners, who are now 16-18. Give them credit. They come all the way back to win 59-58, but they shot 30% from the floor. They had 28 turnovers, and they still won the game, beating Mississippi Valley State. Western Kentucky, 59, Mississippi Valley State, 58. Again, the winner of this game gets the opportunity to get hammered by Kentucky. I guess you can say it's an in-state rivalry game now, Kentucky, Western Kentucky. But I'll say it again. I don't know why these games are played, the 16-16 game, for the right to get beat by a number one. They really should have four games like Iona, BYU, teams that were close to or on the bubble. And again, if you changed it the way we discussed the other day, you could bring in two more of these Iona, BYU type teams. You can't dismiss these teams because VCU was in one of these games last year and made it to the Final Four. It just shows you what parity there is. Some would say mediocrity in the NCAA tournament now. So BYU moves on. Western Kentucky moves on. Iona disappointingly goes home. And, of course, Mississippi Valley State, blowing a 16-point lead in the last 5 minutes, disappointingly goes home as well. Western Kentucky and Brigham Young still in the tournament. Iona and Mississippi, the first two to leave the tournament. There'll be two more games tonight. We'll get into that later, TV times and things. Same kind of thing, though, one 16-16 game, and then one game where I think a team that actually wins that game can actually win a game in the NCAA tournament. The huge news in the NCAA tournament yesterday, frankly, wasn't even the two games that were played. It was the fact that Thad Mello, Syracuse's big man, the very big rebounding block shot guy, the kind of guy you need to win a national championship, Thad Mello was ruled out of the NCAA tournament by Syracuse. They just said he was ineligible. Some rumors have come through that he's academically ineligible, but that's not official. Syracuse declined to say what the reason was for his ineligibility. But to lose Thad Mello, only averaging 8 points a game, but leads Syracuse with 6 rebounds a game and 3 blocks a game. Obviously, he's that defensive presence inside where he can alter shots that you won't see on a stat sheet. But a very good player, Thad Mello, and I thought one of the keys, one of the main cogs, because, again, you can talk about offense and guard play and three-point shooting in the tournament and all that is true. At the end of the day, you like to have that big guy in the middle who clogs up the middle. When your guards get beat, he can pick up that guard driving to the basket. He can block shots. He can intimidate people. He can alter shots. Well, he's gone for the tournament. So I think that hurts. I didn't think Syracuse was going to win anyway, and we'll get into at least Final Four picks today. But Thad Mello won't be able to play for Syracuse. Obviously, Syracuse 30-2 have had a lot of problems off the court, but didn't have very many problems on the court. And now they have a big problem on the court, and that will be the lack of Thad Mello as they go forward. One other thing to talk about, SMU fired their head coach, Matt Doherty, and it's been kind of a free fall for Matt Doherty. You know, he started at Notre Dame, took the Carolina job, one of the premier jobs in all of college basketball. I thought at the time a little too early, was fired from North Carolina. Roy Williams took Matt Doherty's recruits, essentially, and won a national championship at Carolina. Doherty wound up at SMU, where he's been for 6 years, but this year he was 13-19 overall in the 6 years. He was 80-109. You knew somebody would take a chance on Matt Doherty since he was coming from playing at North Carolina with Michael Jordan, coaching some big-time programs, including North Carolina, one of the biggest of the big-time programs. SMU took a chance, and now he's been fired. I don't know where he lands coming from there. But Matt Doherty fired as the SMU head coach after a 13-19 season, after being there for 6 years. We'll stay on college basketball briefly. The NIT also started yesterday. Obviously, I don't view these as big stories, but we'll just continue the, you know, once the NCAA comes Thursday, Friday, you know, you're going to have 16 games Thursday, 16 games Friday, 8 games Saturday, 8 games Sunday. But also at the NIT, you know, some of these teams that thought they should have been in the tournament, I don't know if they proved something by winning the NIT, but certainly they are motivated to win the NIT. So yesterday in the first round of the NIT, and I'll just give you the scores essentially. Seton Hall beat Stony Brook 63-61. I thought Seton Hall had a good claim to be in the tournament. Obviously, they're all out to beat Stony Brook. That wouldn't really help them. Not that it matters now. They won the game, so they move on. They had a home game against Stony Brook and held on 63-61. Tennessee beat Savannah State 65-51. Tennessee, a pretty good team as well. Oregon buries LSU, not in football, but in basketball. Oregon 96, LSU 76, Devo Joseph with 25 to lead Oregon. UMass in an exciting double overtime game beats Mississippi State at Mississippi State. UMass 101, Mississippi State 96, Chaz Williams with 28 for UMass. Northwestern, a team I kind of like in a tournament like the NIT, they hold on to beat Akron. Northwestern 76, Akron 74. This John Scherner, who led the Big Ten in scoring last year, had 23 points and 11 rebounds for Northwestern as they just get by Akron by 2. And finally, Iowa defeats Dayton at Iowa. Iowa 84, Dayton 75. So UMass, Oregon, Tennessee, Seton Hall, Northwestern, and Iowa move on to the second round of the NIT. We won't spend a lot of time on the NIT, but we will mention the scores, and we'll spend time when they get to the NIT Final Four. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Think Fish with Frank Reese on Blue Zoo Radio, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. exclusively on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
These days, you hear them everywhere. Get out of debt quick promises asking you to call right now to solve all your credit problems. But please, listen carefully. Don't make a huge mistake. There is a better way. Trinity Debt Management. Many debt settlement companies have created a dangerous misunderstanding. Simply put, debt settlement often ends up destroying your credit and ultimately may lead to asset seizure and bankruptcy. There is a better way out. Trinity Debt Management can show you how to pay off your debt, preserve your good name, save thousands in interest, and in the end, actually improve your credit rating, not destroy it. Say no to debt settlement. Say yes to debt management. Trinity Debt Management. Make the right choice and become debt-free for keeps. Call 1-800-780-0646. That's 1-800-780-0646.
This is a referral service. Calls will be routed to an independent referral insurance agency.
Listen up, America!
Listen up, America. I'm talking to anyone with or without a pre-existing medical condition. A health insurance hotline has now been established to provide health insurance for all Americans, even uninsured Americans with pre-existing conditions. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote on affordable health plans available to you. 1-800-690-6110. I repeat, this is a hotline providing free quotes for affordable health plans. It's for anyone without health insurance, even if you have pre-existing conditions. Medical costs are the number one cause of bankruptcy and financial distress. All uninsured Americans are strongly urged to call this National Health Insurance Hotline right away to protect yourself and your family from an unexpected variety of medical costs that could cause financial hardship. Call the Health Insurance Hotline right now for a free quote at 1-800-690-6110. That's 1-800-690-6110. Call 1-800-690-6110.
You're listening to the SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, call toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors' information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how you can get your free information just by dialing toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product or don't know where to go with it, you want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call, so call InventHelp right now.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you have a car, truck, or SUV, you can stop paying for all covered repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny more than you want for repairs. Just call 1-877-246-0508 right now to see if you qualify. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Just call 877-246-0508 today and get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Phone lines are open right now. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-877-246-0508 to get your car protected today. Call 877-246-0508. That's 1-877-246-0508. Never pay for covered car repairs again. Just call 877-246-0508. That's 877-246-0508.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We'll get to the NBA and the NHL, but first we're going to do the first day of free agency, and as you would expect in the NFL, as you would expect, a ton of signings. What didn't happen was Peyton Manning didn't make a decision. Originally, he had said he wanted to make a decision before free agency started, but that just hasn't happened. A lot going on. Manning did visit the Dolphins. There were some rumors that he was going to visit Houston, but Houston came out with a, "We are, quote, committed to Matt Schaub," close quote. It's interesting because we talked about this. The places Peyton Manning has to go right now, or the perceived places he'll be going, like a Denver or a Miami or an Arizona, I don't know if you drop him on that team, if they're Super Bowl, even contenders to be in the Super Bowl. What we had discussed in the past on this show, if they could put him on the Ravens, but they have Joe Flacco, if you could put him on Houston, but they have Matt Schaub, those are the kinds of teams that are ready, at least in my opinion, to win a Super Bowl next year. But now, looks like Houston not interested. And now Bud Adams, the owner of Tennessee, throwing his hat late into the ring. Now, of course, you know Peyton Manning was the quarterback at Tennessee. He's a legend in the state of Tennessee. They're going to try and make a pitch to him to see if whether or not he wants to come back to the state where he became a legend while he was in college. So Bud Adams is going to meet apparently today with Peyton Manning to make his pitch. So it looks like there will be four teams, I guess the four front runners, if you will, in the Peyton Manning sweepstakes. Most people think Arizona and Denver still have the inside track, with Miami and Tennessee also with a chance. Again, the Jets are out. They gave Mark Sanchez a 3-year extension. Whether you think he's the guy who can win a Super Bowl or not, I don't know. I am not one of those guys who believes. Again, he went backwards this year. Mark Sanchez did, and the Jets' defense was not as good this year as it had been the previous two. So there's a lot to fix in New York before you think about them winning a Super Bowl. So Kansas City dropped out. Seattle dropped out of the Peyton Manning sweepstakes. So that's on hold. But what is not on hold, a lot of other things happened yesterday. Brandon Marshall was traded from Miami to the Chicago Bears, where he'll be reunited with Jay Cutler. Of course, they played together for 3 years in Denver. Miami gets 2 third-round draft picks, which strikes me as pretty low for Brandon Marshall, but that's what happened. Of course, Marshall now apparently might be facing charges in New York. He allegedly punched a woman in the face at a New York City nightclub. She filed a police report. He says he was just leaving a club when a fight broke out. He was leaving the club to avoid being anywhere near the fight. We'll see where that goes. Marshall's has had his problems before, but Cutler to Marshall in Chicago helps Chicago, obviously, offensively. Cutler, a very good NFL quarterback, despite being criticized left and right. I think that's going to be a very productive pairing up in Chicago for the Bears next year. A number of other contract signings. The Bucks gave 5 years and $55.55 million to Vincent Jackson, formerly of the Chargers. The 55 is Vincent Jackson's lucky number. But the Bucks get him for 5 years. That'll help Josh Freeman, who had a down year last year, tremendously. The Chargers signed Robert Meacham from the New Orleans Saints. Free agent, but he had been with the Saints, of course. The Chargers signed Meacham to replace the aforementioned Vincent Jackson. Reggie Wayne, everybody thought he was going to wait to see where Peyton Manning goes, but he re-upped with the Indianapolis Colts on a 3-year deal. I guess he'll be catching passes probably from Andrew Luck this year, but Reggie Wayne surprises a lot of people, does not wait for where Peyton Manning is going to sign, and re-ups with the Colts for 3 years. Marcus Colston does re-sign with New Orleans. So New Orleans did lose Bobby Meacham for Drew Brees, but does bring back Colston. Jason Campbell, who, you know, Campbell I thought was playing pretty well for the Raiders. He got hurt. The Raiders went out and got Carson Palmer. That was the old, where does that leave Jason Campbell? Well, Jason Campbell signed a 1-year deal to back up Jay Cutler with the Chicago Bears. Pretty interesting. I thought Campbell was and can be a starting quarterback in the NFL, but maybe he just wanted to sign to be on the team for next year. Maybe he looked around and saw there weren't really many jobs open. So Jason Campbell signs a 1-year deal with the Bears to back up Jay Cutler. Pierre Garçon, another very good wide receiver, signs with the Redskins. 5 years, $42.5 million, $20 million of it guaranteed. So Garçon is a member of the Washington Redskins. The St. Louis Rams signed cornerback Courtland Finnegan to a 5-year, $50 million deal. It's a lot of money for a corner. Finnegan is he was with Tennessee all those years. And if you've watched him play, you know he's a scrappy, gets in the face of the best wide receiver, tries to take him off his game. He's a very good player. 5 years, $50 million for a team like the St. Louis Rams. Well, I don't know about that, but that's what they decided to do. The Cowboys released Terrence Newman, and a couple of big signings just came over the wires in the last hour or so. Calvin Johnson, Megatron, signed a monster extension with the Lions. 7 years, $132 million, $60 million of it guaranteed. Again, this just broke in the last hour or so. The Lions now have him under contract for 8 years, but the extension he got today, 7 years, $132 million, $60 of it guaranteed. Of course, the guaranteed money is really the important thing for the players. In baseball, when you sign a contract, that money is all guaranteed. In football, not the same way, but recently, last 5 years or so, the top players have been demanding and getting guaranteed money. That was non-existent in the NFL 10 years ago. Another big signing, Tampa Bay signs Carl Nix, one of the best guards, if not the best guard in football. to a 5-year, $47 million contract, $31 million of that guaranteed. He's now the highest paid guard in the NFL. Nix, of course, had been with the Saints. Drew Brees can't be very happy about that, but Carl Nix signs with Tampa Bay. So Tampa Bay obviously trying to make some moves to get better. They get Vincent Jackson. They get Carl Nix. I think Josh Freeman is a good NFL quarterback. Again, he wasn't great this year either, but we'll see what happens. And that's really, those were your two big signings that came across the wires in the last hour or so. So again, a lot going on in the NFL. You can expect a lot to go on more today as well. Of course, the biggest is Peyton Manning, the biggest by far. Peyton Manning has not yet announced his intentions, although originally he wanted to. I saw an interview with Adam Schefter where he said that Peyton Manning didn't quite realize how tough this would be, how emotional it would be. I don't know if that's true or not. I think, personally, Peyton Manning is going to have a tough time picking a team, not because he's not going to get whatever money he wants, but because the teams that seem to be willing to go after him and spend all the money are not teams, at least in my opinion, that you drop him on their Super Bowl teams. You drop him on their playoff teams because they're Peyton Manning, because he's Peyton Manning. But, you know, the Broncos, you know, the Broncos are a good team. Their defense fell off last year when Von Miller got hurt. Can he make a run to the Super Bowl with the Broncos? I guess the answer to that is maybe. Can he do it with the Dolphins? I don't think so. I mean, that's a tough division, right? The Patriots are the Patriots. They're going to be better next year. The Jets are hot and cold, but they can be very good. The Bills are an up-and-coming team. So I don't know if it's the Dolphins. The Tennessee Titans, well, again, always up and down for years. I don't know where they're going. So we'll have to see what Peyton Manning decides. But again, I don't think his choices, you know, if his choices are the Ravens and or the Houston Texans, those kinds of teams, I think you put Peyton Manning on those teams, they're the favorites to win the Super Bowl. But it's neither here nor there. We'll have to see what Manning chooses. I think he would have gone to Houston if he could have. I mean, that would be the place for him to play. And again, Matt Schaub's a very good quarterback. He's not Peyton Manning, but he's a very good NFL quarterback. So, but again, Houston has said they're committed to Matt Schaub, so it doesn't look at all like Houston's going to get into the Peyton Manning sweepstakes. Want to switch now to the NBA. Number of interesting games in the NBA yesterday, but clearly the headliner, again, this was a little less than 48 hours before the trade deadline. The trade deadline tomorrow afternoon for the NBA. Yesterday, Miami goes up to Orlando to play the Magic. I don't want to say the Magic have been in disarray, but they certainly, with the whole Dwight Howard thing hanging over them, they've been up and down, I'll say that. But yesterday, Orlando with a gigantic overtime win over the Miami Heat. Orlando 104, Miami Heat 98. Dwayne Wade with a shot at the buzzer to win the game in regulation misses it. Again, Miami's going to have those issues until they start to have guys who can make shots at the buzzer. They had them last year in the regular season and in the playoffs. At least yesterday they decided Wade, not LeBron, was the guy. He misses a pretty good look at the buzzer in regulation. Orlando comes back to win. Orlando 104, Miami 98. Dwight Howard, still unbelievable. You know, you can say whatever you want about trade rumors or no trade rumors. Do I want to stay? Do I want to go? Did I demand a trade? Do I want to go to New Jersey with Darren Williams? Howard has continued to play at a beyond high level this year. 24 points. 9 of 13 from the field, only 6 of 18 from the free throw line. Obviously a disaster there, his only weak part of his game. 24 points, 25 rebounds for Dwight Howard as he leads the Magic to a 104-98 victory. Jameer Nelson had a very good game as well, 25 points, 4 assists, 10 for 16 from the field, 4 for 7 from 3, including a big 3 in overtime. J.J. Redick starting now for Orlando, 17 points, 3 for 8 from the 3-point line, and Kyle Anderson with 16 points. Now again, trade rumors swirling, but after the game, Dwight Howard, in front of an array of media, said, look, I want to stay here. I think we can do something good. But Howard did not say he wants to stay here long term. He thinks they can make a run. Chicago, questionable. Derrick Rose, bad back, who knows who's their second scorer. Miami looks like the team to beat, but again, the Magic beat Miami yesterday. For Miami, Dwayne Wade, 28 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Chris Bosh, 23 points, 8 rebounds. LeBron, 7 for 20, 19 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists. What a player, obviously, LeBron is. Not much from the rest of the team again. The Big Three played well. They almost stole a game in Orlando, but the Magic, with maybe their biggest win of the season, again, a day and a half before the trading deadline. Orlando moves to 28-15. Miami drops to 31-10. And again, it was interesting to see Dwight Howard's statements afterwards. He didn't say he wants to stay past this season, but he did say, I want to stay the rest of this season. Thinks we can do something special. Now, a source came out and told, I think it was ESPN, that Dwight Howard, that the Orlando Magic essentially told Dwight Howard that he can decide whether he wants GM Otis Smith to stay, whether he wants Coach Stan Van Gundy to coach. They asked Van Gundy about the possibility of him getting fired, and Van Gundy, being a Van Gundy, said, I'm not worried about that. I don't care. If they want to fire me, they can fire me. You know, it's spoken like a guy who knows he's going to get paid, obviously, if his contract is terminated. Dwight Howard's agent came out and did not deny that was true, but he did say that his client, Howard, never asked for that power. But clearly now in the modern-day NBA, the super-duper star player rules over the GM and the coach. You know, the words coming out of, well, we'll get to the Knicks a little later. Similar, the opposite is happening in New York, where Carmelo Anthony has spoken to the GM once in 10 months since he's been here. Obviously, he's not being consulted. There are reports in New York he's not happy about that. Again, we'll talk about that later. Right now, Orlando 104, Miami 98. Again, couldn't have timed it better for Orlando a day and a half before the trade deadline. Lakers on the road in Memphis. Now, again, the Lakers, not a very good road team, but yesterday they get a double overtime victory over the pretty good Grizzlies. Lakers 116, Grizzlies 111. Bynum, who's becoming a monster before your eyes this year, 37 points, 16 rebounds, 15 for 18 from the field. Yes, I understand he shoots from in close, but 15 from 18 from the field, 7 and 8 from the free throw line, 37 points, 16 rebounds. Kobe Bryant's Kobe Bryant, what can you say? 34 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. Kobe did miss a jumper at the buzzer to win the game in regulation. That game did go to overtime. Pau Gasol of the Lakers, 14 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists. Marc Gasol for the Memphis Grizzlies, and I think you can make the case that Marc is better than his older brother now. Marc Gasol, 20 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, not enough. Lakers 116, Grizzlies 111. Spates with 25 for Memphis. Allen with 18. Conley, who hit a big 3 in regulation, only with 10, but 11 assists as well. O.J. Mayo, 14 points and 6 rebounds off the bench. Conley did miss a jumper at the buzzer in overtime to give the Grizzlies a chance to win. So Kobe missed one at the buzzer in regulation. Conley misses one at the buzzer for the Grizzlies in the first overtime. The Lakers get the win in double overtime, 116-111. The Lakers move to 26-16. Memphis, again, having a very good year without Zach Randolph, drops to 24-17. Got a number of other games to get to. We will after the break, and the NHL, and your TV, and some baseball stuff. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Get your college sports news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
You want to put your nest egg somewhere where it will grow. Gold has given investors a 300% return over the last 10 years. You want an investment that's safe. Gold American Eagles are guaranteed by the U.S. government for weight and purity. You want to work with someone you can trust. Blanchard & Company was founded over 35 years ago. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. You want an investment that's liquid in case you need your money fast. Well, Blanchard guarantees to buy back any gold you invest in with them at the current market rates anytime you want to sell. And you want someone you can talk to ask questions and find out what's right for you. Blanchard has set up a special toll-free line to give you a free one-on-one consultation and information with a gold expert. Just call 800-309-5530. That's 800-309-5530. For free gold information, call now. 800-309-5530. 800-309-5530.
Get your Major League Baseball news when you want it 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard to find parts. Visit us today at SupplyLineElectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Get your NBA news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com, your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Want to know what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join Paul Belfie and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic!
For Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Welcome back to the Steve Kallis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Kallis Show. We're going to get to the rest of the NBA games in a minute. But first, a couple of NBA notes. One trade that has actually already taken place. Milwaukee. Now, Milwaukee is tied with the Knicks for the eighth playoff spot at 18-24 in the Week East, as we've talked about. Certainly, you'd be nowhere near the playoffs in the West with an 18-24 record, but Milwaukee obtains Monte Ellis, an excellent scorer from the Golden State Warriors. They give up Andrew Bogut, and we've talked about Milwaukee without Bogut. He's a month away from playing, but he's a very good big man, and that's going to help Mark Jackson out in Golden State when he comes back. And Steven Jackson, who is kind of in the doghouse. Monte Ellis goes to Milwaukee along with Epi Uda, who's not a bad player, and Kwame Brown, who you'll recall, you know, Michael Jordan will be mocked forever for drafting Kwame Brown with the first pick in the draft. It's got to be like 6-7 years ago now. But I think this is a good deal for Milwaukee because they really lose nobody out of their rotation. They're obviously making a push right now to make the playoffs this year. Monte Ellis, a very good ball player. He's going to do well in the East. He did well in the West. Maybe a little too shot happy for a guy like Mark Jackson. But Monte Ellis to Milwaukee. And I think it's going to help Golden State down the road with Andrew Bogut and maybe Mark Jackson. Steven Jackson's a good ball player. Maybe Mark Jackson can, you know, coddle him a little bit to make him help Golden State. Again, I think Golden State's a very good team. If they were in the East, they're a playoff team. But they're not in the East. In the West, we'll look at the standings a little later. But that's a deal that has happened. The talk in New York, frankly, now is about a deal that hasn't happened. Rumors today, reports denied by Carmelo, that Carmelo Anthony wants out of New York. Rumors, reports that he hasn't been happy because he has not been consulted on player moves. Apparently, and he did play with J.R. Smith in Denver, he wasn't thrilled that J.R. Smith came aboard. Everybody knows what J.R. Smith is. If he's hitting his shot, he's, you know, unbelievable. But if he's not hitting his shot, then he's a big problem. And so far with the Knicks, it's kind of been one good game, two or three bad ones. I don't know that the Knicks needed them because their problem is now they have 10 guys who can really play. And you're not going anywhere in the NBA, in my opinion, with a 10-man rotation. So a lot of people are saying the Knicks should trade, and I don't disagree with this. I don't think Orlando would do it, especially since Howard has announced he at least wants to be here through, be in Orlando through the end of the season. But people were saying, give people in New York, give Orlando Tyson Chandler and Carmelo. Let's stick with Jeremy Lin and the way he can run the show. Bring in the best center in the game by far. And you'll also have one less guy you have to get in the rotation. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, especially, again, with the words that Orlando said. They're more likely to try and get someone to come to Orlando. You know, maybe rather than Darren Williams trying to talk Howard into coming to Brooklyn, maybe Howard will try and talk Darren Williams to coming down to Orlando, although Jameer Nelson is a pretty good NBA point guard. And, of course, the rumor is if Howard doesn't go to Brooklyn that Darren Williams is going to go back to Dallas, go to Dallas, his hometown, and play for the Mavericks. With Jason Kidd, obviously, you know, maybe 1 year left, maybe he'd be willing to back up someone like Darren Williams. So the Monte Ellis trade happened for Bogut and Steven Jackson. No Knick trade at this point. Some people in New York are saying the Knicks play the Trailblazers tonight. Trailblazers coming off a bad loss that we'll get to in a minute to the Pacers last night, so they're playing back-to-back. If the Knicks can't beat the under 500 Trailblazers at home when the Trailblazers, played last night and the Knicks didn't, well, some people are saying that if they lose tonight, D'Antoni's going to get fired. I don't know if that's true. I mean, we've discussed D'Antoni and the system since I've been here. I've got articles from the day they hired Mike D'Antoni that if he couldn't win in Phoenix with that loaded squad he had there, he's not going to win in New York. Now, New York is much, much more talented than when D'Antoni showed up, but as you can see already, it hasn't meshed. Now, they're 2-8 since Carmelo came back. Can you totally blame Carmelo for this? No, but obviously the chemistry isn't even what it was. Did they beat weaker teams without Carmelo with Linsanity going on? Yes. But I don't know how it's going to work where the D'Antoni system is based on pick and roll, movement, shoot quickly, and the Carmelo system is based on give me the ball, clear out, let me dribble for 10 seconds and make a move. So we'll have to see. This is hard to believe, but this is a big game for the Knicks tonight. If they lose to a team like Portland, again, playing the second of back-to-backs while the Knicks didn't play yesterday, and they lose at the Garden where the Boo Birds were out in force the other day, that's going to be a big problem for the New York Knicks and for Mike D'Antoni. Want to get now to the rest of the NBA games. A good one in Oklahoma City yesterday. The Rockets beat Oklahoma City 104-103. Now, Durant, he led the team with 28. He led the Oklahoma City Thunder with 28 points and 12 rebounds, but he took a hard fall. He hit his head. He came out briefly. He came back in, and I'll tell you, he took some very poor shots. He seemed to me a little out of sorts. I hope they do some concussion testing or something on him because he played very poorly when he came back. The Rockets were able to win again, 104-103 in Oklahoma City, where Oklahoma City is virtually impossible to beat. Lee with 21 for the Rockets, D'Alembert with 8 rebounds, and the Rockets did it, amazingly to me, without Kyle Lowry, without Kevin Martin. Chandler Parsons had 21 for the Rockets. So the Rockets get a good win over the Thunder. The Rockets, to me, are another of these teams. If they were in the East, they'd be a solid playoff team. In the West, they're kind of on the bubble. They moved to 23-20. The Thunder dropped to 32-10. Another very interesting game yesterday. The Nuggets at home beat the Hawks in overtime. Denver 118. The Hawks 117. Again, another very exciting game. Danilo Gallinari hit an unbelievable three late, if you saw that play. I mean, he's literally falling out of bounds. There's two guys jumping at him, catch and shoot. Hits a three to put the Nuggets up one in regulation, but then Kirk Heinrich on the last play of the regulation for Atlanta goes to the basket. For some reason, gets fouled by Brewer. No one can figure out why. He goes to the line. He makes the first to tie up the game. He misses the second, and that's why there's overtime. In the overtime, Denver holds on to win 118-117. Josh Smith, some trade rumors about Josh Smith, but he's not going anywhere now. 33 points, 13 rebounds. Joe Johnson, 34 points. But the Nuggets get the win. Nene, who's back now in full swing, 8 for 16, 22 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists for the Nuggets. Lawson, 21 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. Al Harrington off the bench, a very good player still, 19 points. Gallinari, including that monster 3, 19 points for Denver. Denver, 118. The Hawks, 117. Denver, 24 and 19. Atlanta 24-18. Team we were just talking about, the Trailblazers, another team in the wrong conference. They go to Indiana, and Indiana just buries Portland. Indiana 92, Portland 75. Indiana opens up an 18-point lead in the third quarter when they outscore the Trailblazers 27-14. Lou Amundsen scores a career-high 21 points and 8 rebounds for Indiana off the bench. He was the catalyst. George, 11 points, 5 rebounds. Granger, 11.6 rebounds. You expect more scoring out of Granger for them to win, but they did win yesterday. Hibbert, their big man, only 8 points and 6 rebounds. But Indiana gets the win to move to 24-16. Portland takes the loss. They're 20-22. LaMarcus Aldridge, 17 points, the high scorer. Smith off the bench with 10 points for Portland. And again, where's their scoring going to come from? Batum with 9, Felton with 5, Wallace with 5, Camby doesn't score. A lot of issues. Crawford off the bench, but only with 9 points in 22 minutes. So Indiana 92, Portland 75. Portland comes from Indiana yesterday to New York today to play the Knicks tonight in what is a much bigger game, certainly for the Knicks than for Portland. But Portland, obviously, the way the Knicks have been playing, 6 losses in a row, Portland's going to try and come into the Garden and steal one. And frankly, who's to say that they can't, given the discord in the Knick locker room, or certainly the viewed discord in the Knick team by fans and media experts alike. A few other games just briefly. The Mavericks at home beat the Wizards 107-98. Nowitzki with 27. Booker, the high man for the Wizards, with 20 points and 12 rebounds. The Warriors beat the Kings 115-89. Rush with 17, the high scorer for the Warriors. Cousins, a beast since he got the coach fired. 19 points, 12 rebounds for Cousins. But Golden State, 115. Sacramento, 89. Again, Golden State, 18-21. They're hovering around. You know, I think this was a trade, frankly, for the future that they made. They're not going to have Monte Ellis for the rest of the year, obviously. They will get Andrew Bogut. If Bogut comes back in time, I think, my goodness, put a really good big man on the Warriors. They're going to be, again, I think this is a trade as much for the future as anything. But the Warriors trying to get to 500, trying to get in play in the playoffs. Again, for a young team like that with a young coach like Mark Jackson, playoff experience this year will be very important for next year. One other game, finally, the Raptors on the road in Cleveland beat the Cavaliers. Raptors 96, Cavaliers 88. Now, the Cavaliers at 16-24, I know it sounds wacky, but the Cavaliers at 16-24, only a game out of the eighth playoff spot in the East, which again shows you the difference between the East and the West. They have a chance to fight for that eighth playoff spot. Now, obviously the Knicks are ultra-talented. Obviously Milwaukee just made a big play giving up on their big man, Bogut, They won't be having him the rest of the year or in the future. But to get a frankly, really good guard in Monte Ellis. But the Raptors going to Toronto, Bayless with 20 for the Raptors and 7 assists. Antoine Javinson with 20 for the Cavaliers. Kyrie Irving actually leads the Cavaliers in rebounds with 7 and assists with 7. But the Raptors get the win. And again, this sounds sick, but the Raptors are 14-28. I don't know if you can rule them out for a playoff spot in the East, as wacky as that sounds, because right now the 8th playoff spot has an 18-24 record. So, again, just a lot of weakness in the depth, if you will. I think Miami's the best team in the NBA. I think most people would agree with that, but really not a very big, not a very deep conference. Right now, Chicago actually has a better record than Miami. They're in first at 35-9, Miami 31-10. Orlando 28-15. Philadelphia, after that thrashing of the Knicks the other day, 25-17 in fourth. Indiana 24-16 in fifth. Atlanta 24-18 in sixth. The Celtics now three games over 500, 22-19 in seventh. Milwaukee and New York tied record-wise at 18-24 for the final playoff spot. Milwaukee has the tiebreaker. Cleveland 16-24. Detroit 15-27. Toronto 14-28. New Jersey 14-29. You can't even say they're out of it, as sick as that sounds. And then all the way back to Washington, 9-32, and Charlotte, 6-34. In the West, Oklahoma City, they actually have the second-best record in basketball after the Bulls. Oklahoma City, 32-10, despite losing last night. Surprising to me, San Antonio, 27-13. The Lakers getting some road wins now in third, 26-16. Memphis in fourth, 24-17. The Clippers in fifth, 23-17. Denver in sixth, 24-19. Dallas in seventh, 24-20. Houston in eighth, three games over 500 as opposed to six games under in the East for the eighth slot. Houston 23-20. Minnesota right behind them, 22-21. You can't eliminate Utah 20-21, Portland 20-22, or Phoenix 19-22, or even Golden State 18-21. I mean, they're only three games out of eighth place. Then you go way back to two teams that can't make it, Sacramento 14-28, and New Orleans at 10-32. Those are your NBA standings. Switch quickly now to the NHL. Sidney Crosby expected to come back tomorrow night against the Rangers. Crosby's missed another 3 months since he originally had missed from the prior January. He was out almost a year. Then he came back for a few games, actually played fairly well, then had to stop again. Now he's expected back tomorrow against the Rangers for the Penguins. I'll say it again, Evgeny Malkin, an MVP candidate for sure, but the Penguins without Crosby, I don't think can win the Stanley Cup. If Crosby's healthy and can play before the playoffs start, I think they would be a favorite to win the Stanley Cup if Crosby can make it back healthy. Number of games in the NHL to look at quickly. Carolina at the Garden to play the Rangers. Marty Baron gets the start, but this is what we've talked about all year from a Rangers perspective. If Lundqvist can be rested and Baron can play well, the Rangers have a big shot to go all the way this year. Rangers 4, Carolina 2. Brad Richards coming on late with two huge goals, 22nd and 23rd of the year. Carl Hagelin with his 13th of the year playing on a line now with Gabrick and Richards, and Marion Gabrick with his 34th of the year, the Rangers MVP to me. I guess you throw Lundqvist in there if you needed co-MVPs. Tim Brent and Drayson Bowman score for Carolina, not enough. Rangers 4, Carolina 2. Philadelphia with Brizgalov coming on. We discussed Brizgalov at the beginning of the year. I thought he was the reason that he could play well enough to make Philadelphia a solid Stanley Cup contender. He's been up and down, but lately he's been playing great. He shuts out the Martin Brodeur and the New Jersey Devils yesterday. Philly 3, New Jersey nothing down in Philly. Sean Couturier scores his 12th. Jacob Voracek scores his 13th. And Danny Briere scores his 14th for Philly. Brizgalov gets another shutout. He's been playing great of late. Washington beats the Islanders in the shootout. Washington 5, New York 4. John Tavares with his 29th and 30th for the Islanders. Alex Ovechkin with his 28th and 29th for Washington, but Washington gets the win in the shootout. Washington 5, New York 4. Chicago beats St. Louis in the shootout, 4-3. St. Louis is now one of the best teams in the NHL, without doubt. They get a point yesterday, but they lose to the Blackhawks. The Blackhawks outshoot St. Louis 46-24 and get the win in the shootout on a goal by Patrick Kane. Chicago 4, St. Louis 3. St. Louis actually opened up a 3-1 lead. Patrick Berglund scored his 16th, but Chicago comes back with Victor Stahlberg's 17th, and then Brent Seabrook in the third period ties up the game with his 6th of the year, and then Chicago gets the win 4-3 in a shootout in Chicago. A couple of other games quickly. San Jose goes up to Calgary. Calgary gets the win 3-2. Logan Couture scores 2 goals for San Jose. They're only to his 29th and 30th. But Jerome McGinley scores his 30th of the year to tie up the game at 2. And then in overtime, Matt Stajan of Calgary scores his 5th of the year with 40 seconds left in overtime. Calgary 3, San Jose 2. One other game to mention, Tampa Bay hammers Boston 6-1. But the news here is that Steven Stamkos scores his 49th and 50th goals of the year. Just unbelievable. Stamkos, only 22 years old, already a superstar, gets to 50 goals for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Now the Bruins 40-26-3, Tampa Bay over 500 now, trying to make a run at the playoffs. But yesterday, the highlight, of course, Steven Stamkos with 2 goals, including his 50th of the year. I want to get quickly to the TV tonight. A lot of pro basketball, a lot of college basketball tonight. 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN, Philadelphia goes out to Indiana to play the Pacers. 7:30 on MSG, 7:30 Eastern, Portland comes into the Garden to play the Knicks. Of course, again, the gigantic game for the Knicks, that's on MSG. Raptors at the Nets, 7:30 Eastern on the YES Network. The second game, the highlight game of the night on ESPN after the 76ers and Pacers at 7 Eastern. 9:30, Heat goes up to Chicago to play the Bulls. That's 9:30 Eastern. That's on ESPN as well. Certainly the marquee game of the night in the NBA. In college basketball, the NCAA tournament, now you have that 16 against 16 game at 6:30. That's on True TV, 6:30 Eastern. Lamar against Vermont. Again, not a lot of attention will be paid to that game. An interesting game at 9 o'clock Eastern on True TV. NCAA 212 seeds, California against South Florida. Obviously, the winner goes on, the loser goes home. That's at 9 o'clock Eastern, so that's a True TV NCAA doubleheader. If you're into the NIT, Minnesota at LaSalle, 7 o'clock Eastern, ESPN2. Bucknell at Arizona, 9 o'clock Eastern on ESPN2. One hockey game on nationally on the NBC Sports Channel, 7:30 Eastern, Colorado up in Buffalo to play the Sabres. And if you're really, really into baseball, I'm really, really into baseball, don't think I'll be able to watch this one, though. The New York Mets at the Detroit Tigers, 1 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. That's your national exhibition game today. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.